1 Corinthians 6:15 says, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." Let's pray. Lord, come to you, ask you to help me, Lord. Fill me with your spirit, Lord. Please get me out of the way, Lord. I don't want to interfere with your word and what the Bible says, God, but I do need your help. I pray you help me, Lord. You use me, you work through me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So at what point is a marriage recognized as a marriage? Well, some teach that the sexual act constitutes a marriage biblically. There's some that teach that. I'm going to try and keep this just as G-rated, I guess, as I can. But that it just needs to be said what we read right here in 1 Corinthians 6:15. It says, "Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid." Then verse 16, "What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." So some teach based on that, they would say that what happened right there, that act of fornication, that sexual act constitutes a marriage biblically. And this is the passage they're going to go to teach that. But the Bible doesn't teach that. Because if we put it in context, if we look at the context of chapter 6 and chapter 7, it clearly teaches otherwise. It clearly teaches that that's not marriage. There's a definite union right there, but it doesn't say that it's marriage. There's something that happens within that, and that's why we're warned against that, but it is not marriage. The immoral act described in chapter 6, verses 16 through 18 is called fornication. Says, "What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body?" Now, what's a harlot though? Okay, obviously it's not speaking of his wife. It's speaking of a harlot, a woman for hire. Okay, that's what it's talking of. "So he which is joined to an harlot is one body, for two saith he shall be one flesh, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." And then he says this, "Flee fornication." After what he just described, he says it's fornication. Flee fornication. "Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." Okay, so it's called fornication right there in the context. Now, if we look at chapter 7 and verse 2, we're told that in order to avoid fornication, we should get a wife. So let's look at it. Chapter 7, verse 1, "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman." Verse 2, "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." Now, if what was described in chapter 6, verses 15 to 18 was considered marriage, why would he say to avoid fornication, then you need to get a wife? Because what was described in chapter 6, verses 15 through 18 is not marriage. It's not. That's why he said the same thing later in chapter 2, that in order to avoid fornication, what just happened in chapter 6, verses 15 through 18, that immoral act, he says, that's not marriage. To avoid that, you get a wife, so you don't do that. So you don't commit fornication. That's why you would get a wife, or vice versa. That's why you'd get a husband. So the context alone tells us that it is not marriage. If the act alone constituted marriage, there would be no such thing as fornication. You could just run around and fornicate and be like, "Well, she's my wife. He's my husband." There'd be no fornication. Fornication is any type of sex outside of marriage. Any type of sex outside of marriage. Look, I'm telling you, young people, listen up right here. Because so many, they hit this magical age of 18, and as I'm an adult now. No, you're not. You're not an adult at 18. I'm just telling you, I wasn't an adult at 18. I'm not just picking on you, okay? It's not just that magical number. It's just a time in your life when you're mature enough and you can handle things yourself. That's when you're an adult. And we're going to get into this. I don't know if we'll get to it this week, but we're going to look at the marriage of Isaac and Rebekah. And really how we should handle marriage, how we should step into marriage as parents, what our role is, as children, what your role is, if you're not married yet, even if you're grown, I'm talking grown children here, but we need to take heed to this warning right here. Because so many think that they can control it and they can handle it. And they say, I won't do that. I'll only go to this far and I won't go any bit beyond it. And I'm telling you, you're not strong enough. I'm telling you, I don't care who you are in this room. You're not strong enough. I don't care who it is. We could put a mirror right here and I'll look at it and I say, I don't care who you are. You're not strong enough because I'm not strong enough. You're not strong enough. There's not one person in here strong enough to not take that step. That's why God warns so much about it. So much about it. You go back to the Old Testament, the warning's given all the time. All the time, all the time, all the time, all the time, the warning's given to flee fornication. You get into Proverbs chapter 7, he warns the young man. He warns the young man. Okay? That's 16 to 25 year old. That's who he's warning right there. We may turn there here in a bit, I don't know. But I'm just telling you, you're not strong enough. Jesus said, hey, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Your flesh will fail you. I'm telling you right now, your flesh will fail you. Chapter 7, verse 1 says, now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me. So obviously Corinth, the people there at Corinth, they wrote to Paul and they said, hey, we've got some questions for you. And they started throwing all this stuff out, asking him some questions. And he says, okay, so this thing whereof ye wrote unto me. And they had to have been asking him about this because obviously if you've read through Corinthians and you've studied it at all, you know, okay, let me just say, let's back up here. The church in Corinth, not the model church we want to be. We don't want to model ourselves after Corinth. Corinth was a fleshly church, a carnal church, a wicked church. They're still a church, but they're a mess. And I'm telling you, we don't want to model ourselves after them. And you get into chapter 5, and it gets so bad that a man has taken the Bible says his father's wife. It says in chapter 5, verse 1, it's reported commonly that there is fornication among you. And such fornication, and this again argues against the act of fornication constituting a marriage, but it says it's reported commonly that there's fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles. He says, hey, even lost people aren't this bad. It doesn't get that bad with them. It's not even named like this among them. Here it is, the end of verse 1, chapter 5, that one should have his father's wife. So what happened? This son was either, many people will say, it's his stepmom, could be his mother. The way it words it, I tend to think it's his stepmom because it says his father's wife, but that doesn't necessarily mean that. It could be he's having relations with his mom. It's whatever it is, it's bad. It's bad. And he says it's reported commonly that there's fornication among you. Everybody knows about this, he said. Why haven't you dealt with this thing? And he gets into that. But I mean, this is the problem. This is what Corinth is facing. I mean, Corinth was such a wicked city that they used a term to refer to Corinth, and they'd call it Corinthianized. Because it was just debauchery. I mean, just the most wicked things happened in Corinth. And it was just, you know, it was where it was at, it was like a crossroads, and everyone traveled there, and a lot of people would be there, and different types of people. I mean, you know, you drive by a truck stop, and what do they always have there? They've got an adult, they call it an adult newsstand, always right next to truck stops. Why? Because there's always people going in and out, and they've got all these things. They'll have prostitutes there, they'll have drug dealers there. I mean, they've got all these wickedness and vices around this place where people are always traveling. That's how Corinth was. It'd be like, Corinth to them would be like Las Vegas is to us. Okay, Sin City. I mean, it's just a place of vice where all kinds of wickedness happens and it's promoted. I mean, it's got the same connotation with it. We say, oh, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Except that's not true because God sees it and God's keeping record of it all. So this is the type of city that Corinth was. It was a wicked place, and they wrote to Paul about some things. Now concerning the things whereof he wrote unto me, he says this statement right here. It is good for a man, what? Not to touch a woman. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. I heard one preacher say this, and I like it. He says, if they're under six, if they're over 60, I'll hug them. If they're under six or over 60, I'll hug them. Because I know, look, I get it. Some of you, it's nothing personal against you if I don't hug you. Okay, I promise you it's not. It's a protection for me and for you. Okay? Why? Based on this principle right here. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication. Why? Why would we not touch a woman? To avoid fornication. You say, just from a hug? It's happened from less. It's happened from less. I'd rather stay away from the edge of the cliff. That way, if I do stumble, I didn't go over. See, that's ridiculous. Okay, well, when you fall into fornication, come back and tell me that. Because I'm telling you, if you don't guard yourself, it'll happen. It will happen. How do you know? Because I did it. I'm not saying I cheated on my wife, but I'm telling you, look at how old my oldest daughter is. Okay, she's going to be 17 in December. We've been married 16 years past August. That means she was already born when we got married. She was 8 months old when we got married. I didn't do things right. I didn't know the Lord. That's not an excuse. I'm just telling you. I was lost. Hey, the spirit indeed is willing. The flesh is weak. That's what I wanted. I went after it. Okay, I'm just telling you. I'm just being honest. I think some preachers are afraid to just be honest and they act like they don't sin or something or they don't struggle with things or have problems with things. But look, it's going to happen to you if you don't put some barriers in place. Because your flesh is weak. It absolutely is weak. You know, if you're an ex-drunkard, the place for you to hang out is not at the bar. I'm just going to go hang out with my friends. And you're going down. I guarantee you're going down. You will go down. Don't be around it. I mean, if you're just constantly shopping or something, don't go window shopping because you're going to buy something. I mean, that's just what's going to happen. Don't do it. Why? Because the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So, hey, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Why? So he can avoid fornication. Look, young people, I know that's not what the world teaches you about a relationship. But that's how it should be, not to touch a woman. Like hold hands, nothing. What? Because we don't believe the Bible. I'm just telling you, we don't believe the Bible. I don't know what it's like for a girl, but I could tell you from a guy's perspective, even just holding a girl's hand. I mean, you enjoy that. You like that. And forget, you want to talk about dancing or something like that. That's... I mean, I've done all this stuff. It's fornication with clothes on a dance floor. That's what it is. That's what it is, the dancing that happens today. When a man puts his hands on a woman's body, all bets are off. All bets are off. I'm just telling you, I don't care how godly he is. Once that happens, bam, how come preachers fall? Preachers go down. Why? Because they didn't take heed to this. I shouldn't be touching any woman but my wife, period. Sometimes a lady will sneak a hug in on me. But I'm like, man, are you going for that handshake? And she comes in and hugs. It's, oh, man, she got me. Okay, that's all right. You know, it goes. I mean, my wife got all mad the other day. I was doing an installation at some lady's house, and I was talking to her about her son. I was really just counseling her. We ended up talking about, like, church and things. I invited her to church. I was pretty much just counseling her there in her driveway outside after I'd finished installing the dishwasher. And she's like my mom's age. I mean, she's older. Okay. And at the end, you know, I was like, okay, well, bye. And I went like this to shake her hand and she just comes in and gives me a big old hug. And then it gets worse. I mean, and I told my wife immediately after it happened. So my wife knows about it. Okay. But I go to shake her hand. She comes in and she gives me a hug and she kisses me on my neck. And I was like, oh man, I was like, oh, I shouldn't be laughing about it. Should I? My wife is not laughing about it. Okay. But I told her about it right when I got home. I said, this lady, she's like, argh. Okay. But look, nothing. It doesn't matter. It's all just stay. No, I don't want to. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. And I'm glad she gets upset. Good. I want that. Anyone. This is for all of us. If you're not married, if you're married, you know, the Bible says about that the bed is, in marriage, the bed is pure and undefiled. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a good thing. God gave it to us. That's as far as I'll go with that here, okay? As far as talking about that direct subject. But look, let me get back to this. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. Some of you are thinking, because you know what your friends are doing? And that's normal, and you've been brought up that that's normal. But you have to renew your mind through the Word of God, and you have to start thinking how God thinks, not how this world thinks. Because this world's going to teach you things that will tear you down, teach you things that are going to destroy you. This world's going to teach you satanic principles. Okay, follow your heart. That's the dumbest advice you can get. But I remember hearing that from the time I was a kid. Oh, just follow your heart. You know, just believe good things are going to happen. And then I get run over or something. What is that? You know, just believing, you know, think positive. That's nonsense. It doesn't work like that. Set up barriers, protections, guards. So that's why I say, you know, I try not to hug a woman. I'll just shake her hand. And it's nothing against any of you ladies here. Really, it's not. I love my wife. That's what it's about. Okay? I want to keep a happy marriage. That's why I do it. And that's why that is. Based on this principle right here. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. But you have to decide. You're going to have to make that decision for yourself. I know how it is in high school. I remember how it was in high school and everybody wants to hug. Okay? Everybody's hugging everybody. I remember. The guys are all over the girls. The girls are like, he's just my friend. That's not what he's thinking, okay? I'm just telling you. Can I get some guys to an amen? Can I get an amen to that? A head nod, amen, yeah. Because it's not. You girls think, he's just my friend. That's not what he's thinking. I promise you it's not. You may have to just take a stand for it and say, no, I don't do that. And they say, well, why? You used to say, well, I'm learning from the Bible. And well, the Bible says that, you know, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. That applies for me too, as a girl, not to touch him. As a guy, I shouldn't touch a woman. You may have to teach these things to some people. They're not going to get it. I mean, they might not, but oh well. You worried about hurting their feelings, or are you worried about hurting God's feelings? And possibly destroying your life. Ruining your life. It can happen. I don't know of anyone that wants an STD, HIV, but it's a reality. That's what could happen. Protect yourself. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. So what's the answer to avoid fornication? Get a husband or a wife. So you don't do that. And the Bible talks, Paul talks about, if you can dwell as I am, if you can be like me and stay single, he says that's the best thing. Why? Because you can dedicate yourself wholly to serving God. And there are some people, the Bible calls, you know, some people eunuchs. I mean, they're eunuchs for the kingdom of God's sake, Jesus says. Meaning they don't ever have relations with anyone. They're just dedicated wholly to the Lord. All their focus can be on God. That's very few people are called to that, though. I'll just be honest with you. Most people should get a husband or wife. Look, if you're tempted by fornication, you better start looking for a husband or wife. You better start praying about that. And most people want a husband and wife, and I understand. I did. Amen. I mean, so there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just telling you, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and every woman have her own husband. Look, the world's going to beat us down with things that are going to get us to fall and fail. It says of the devil that he came in the form of a serpent who was more subtle than any beast of the field. More subtle. It means he's sly, he's slick, he's smooth. I mean, even we think about serpents today, you don't know they're there. You can be standing on top of one and then you all of a sudden you see it. Even a rattlesnake, you can hear it. But if you've ever been maybe in the woods or anything, or even out on the trails around here, and you'll be walking and then all of a sudden you just hear that And if you're hearing that, you're getting pretty close to them, and they've spotted you, and you didn't even know they were there. They're subtle. They're just right there. And even as they slither off, you don't even really hear them. They're and those things are vicious. They're vicious. Even after you cut their head off, did you know they can still bite you and get poison in you? Yeah, you better be careful with them. But look, that's how the devil was described. We're told to be sober, to be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Brother Williams preached a great message on that, talking about how those lions, they hunt, and how they'll be hiding from you, and you won't even see them there. And that's what the devil's doing. And if we're not on our game, if we're not following these principles and setting guards so we don't touch a man or a woman, there's snares everywhere, there's traps everywhere that the devil's going to get you with. And you have to be careful. You have to watch yourself. You have to walk around looking circumspectly, as the Bible says, watching everywhere, sober, vigilant, paying attention, because there's a trap there, trap there, trap there, trap there, trap there. He's got them everywhere. They're all over the place. One of the greatest traps today is right here. We all carry it around with us. Right here. There's a trap waiting to get you. You have to watch yourself. You have to guard yourself. We are going to go there. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 7, please. Proverbs 7:1 says, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my laws the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman." So what does these first four verses focus on? Keeping God's word close to us, close to our heart. Bind them upon thy fingers and write them upon the table of thine heart. The words of the Lord. Why? Why do we do that? Why do we keep God's commandments and keep His word that close to us? Verse 5, "that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words." Proverbs, much of Proverbs is the admonition of a father to his son, Solomon, to his son, and he's instructing him, and from a life of many mistakes that he's made. I mean, at one point he, you know, had, I forget how many wives he had, 1,000 wives, something like that, something ridiculous like that, 1,000 wives. Look, that, if he was with one wife every day, that would take him almost 3 years to see every wife. We're not going to get into that topic, multiple wives, right now. But he made a bunch of mistakes. And I believe the book of Ecclesiastes is his repentance and him getting right with the Lord. But he's giving this advice to his son in chapter 7. He says, "Keep God's word close to you. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the tables of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words." To protect you, son, that's why you do this. To keep you safe, son, that's why you keep God's word close to your heart. And that's what God's telling to each of us. That's why we keep His Word close to us. That's why we walk in His Word, why we spend time in it, why we read it every day, why we memorize it, is so that we can avoid this strange woman. He says in verse 6, "For at the window of my house, I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house." There's just so much here, and I know we've looked at it before, but I think we need to again, because we constantly need this reminder here. But he's just looking out his window, and he sees this young man, and he, you know, he's sitting there in the palace. He's got the view of the whole city, basically, you know, and, you know, you live somewhere, you start to know where the good areas are and things like that, and where, you know, shady areas are you shouldn't be, things like that. That's what he's looking out at. And It says, I'm looking out my window and I behold among the simple ones. So what? Just someone ignorant. I discerned among the youths. The youth, you're ignorant. That's just what you are. It's what all of us are at some point. You know, at that age, like I said, you know, 15 to 25, you think you know it all, but you really don't, and you're ignorant. I mean, there's a lot of stuff I thought I knew, and then someone taught me, and I'm like, man, I really don't know that much at all. I thought I knew something. And then you're like, wow, I had never even considered that. You know, because you don't know much. You really just don't. And this is what he's looking out at, like probably like an 18-year-old, 20-year-old, I don't know. He looks out, though, and he sees this young man walking. I beheld among the simple ones, discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding. He just doesn't know. He's ignorant. He's walking maybe somewhere he shouldn't be, and that's what it says. Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. What was he doing? He was just, you know, going about his way. He didn't realize he was somewhere he shouldn't be. Think about that. That should tell us we should need some guidance from our parents, maybe. Maybe when they tell you, no, you can't go out. No, you can't go there. Maybe they're telling you that for a reason. Maybe they know something you don't know. And that's why they're telling you that. And you should listen to them. Because he's somewhere he shouldn't be. He's walking. It says, verse 8, through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. And he's out at a time he shouldn't be out, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. In the evening, it's getting to be like this. The black and dark night. And what happens? There's one of those snares. See, he wasn't walking circumspectly. He wasn't thinking. He thought, and my wife and I were just talking about this the other day. I don't know what we were doing. We were pulling up into a gas station. I don't even know what brought it up, but we were just pulling up and thinking about all the places we went to when we were younger, and we didn't ever even care who was there, if it was dangerous or anything like that. I mean, man, going places we never should have been, people we didn't even know, and just the danger we put ourselves in. But, you know, we're young, we're invincible. I'm not going to die. I'm never going to die. You know, I can handle that. If someone wants to fight me, let's fight. I mean, you know, I'll take care of it. It doesn't matter. And just put yourself in dumb, dangerous situations because you don't know. You think you've got it under control, but you really don't. And that's this young man right here. He's there somewhere he shouldn't be. He's got no business being there, but he thinks he's okay. He thinks he's got it under control. Pride. And as he's there, it says, behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She's got the attire of a harlot. This woman was there. Where? Were he somewhere he never should have been? If he wasn't there, this wouldn't even be an issue. So what are you trying to keep your kids sheltered? Amen. 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 They don't need to know the depths of sin. I don't need to know the depths of sin. I don't. Me and Brother Francisco the other day, we were at Grandma's Music looking for some equipment we're going to get here. And a song came on and I was like, man, I hate when they play old music I like. It was an old rock song. I could tell you what it is right now and I still like it, but it's not good music. I said, I hate when they play that. My kids don't even know that song. Praise God. They don't have to worry about that. They go into a restaurant and old music is playing and they're having to, you know, just like think something else in their head. So they're not saying the words in their head as they're sitting there singing that old song. Because they've never known that. Good. I hope they don't. I don't want them to. I don't want them to have to go through that. I'd rather protect them, guard them from that. Help guide their way. Say, no, stay away from that. That's dangerous. Just like Solomon's doing. Hey, my son, listen to what I've got to say to you right here. Don't go that way. Look, I was looking out the window the other day, son, and I saw this young man going, and I saw him heading right towards this woman. I could see her out there on the corner, and I saw what was happening. He says, you remember what happened to Grandpa, don't you? Grandpa and my mom, you remember that? Yeah, because Bathsheba was his mom. You remember what happened with Grandpa and Grandma? Son, I've told you that story before. Grandpa was looking at something he shouldn't have been looking at. Grandma was doing something at a time she shouldn't have been doing it. And this young man was going on a way he shouldn't have even been there. He shouldn't have been walking that way. But he was. Son, I saw this. I witnessed this just the other day looking out the window. This window right here. It happened right there at that corner, son. And I'm trying to warn you, don't go that way. That's what's going on right here. It goes on to say she's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. The Bible says women are to be keepers at home. Her feet abide not in her house. She's loud and stubborn. You know, we say a loudmouth, bossy woman. That's what it's describing right here. Her feet abide not in her house. She should be in her house. There's two sides to every story here. He's where he shouldn't be, but he's an ignorant fool, doesn't know what's going on. He's just going about his way, thinks he's invincible, doesn't realize. You know, as it goes on later to say in this chapter that till a dart strike through his liver as a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it's for his life, he doesn't know it's going to cost him his life. Just like a bird going to that snare doesn't realize it's going to cost it its life. It doesn't know. We could think of like a mouse trap. You know, that mouse doesn't know. It just goes up. Man, you ever seen a mouse get caught in a mouse trap? You ever seen it actually like happen? Man, that thing is quick. Boom. Snaps it right on their little head. Done. Instant. They had no idea. No idea that that meal they were going for was going to be their death. That's what it's describing right here. Right here. That's what this young man's doing. But it says that she's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. We could stay on that for a while right there. Loud, stubborn women. I think we heard one last night. If you watch the debate. All right. It says she's without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. Look, he's just describing, there's this woman. This woman's everywhere. This woman's everywhere. Because it's not just one woman. Now, I believe he's looking out and he sees a specific woman, but he's saying, look, this lady's at every corner. Wherever you go, there's a woman like that. Some of you know those girls in school. You're like, oh, yeah, her, yeah. You know, the ones that are pregnant? Yeah, I'm just being honest. I mean, I don't know how many girls were pregnant when I was in high school. I mean, as I went through high school, I was only here here in Albuquerque for, you know, 2.5 years, and man, I can't even count how many girls were pregnant in that amount of time. She's at every corner. She wears the attire of a harlot. You know, I mean, I remember watching girls transform. They'd get to school. They'd be dressing one way. The freshmen especially, they come in, you know, all innocent and everything, and then they just start hanging out with the wrong people. And man, you see their whole just attitude and everything just morph, and they turn into something else. And they start dressing with the attire of a harlot. Why? Because that's all they're seeing. That's all they're seeing in the music and the media. That's all it's putting out there for them. Dress this way, this way. This is what's, you know, attractive. This is what's, you know, what men like. And you've got these young girls, I mean, 13 years old, that I'm like, do you have a dad? Do you have a dad that cares at all about you? But this woman's at every corner. She lieth in wait at every corner. It says, so she caught him and kissed him and with an impudent face said unto him. Now stop right here. Look, we're hitting all kinds of things right here. He shouldn't have even been there. He had no business being there. He thinks he's invincible, but he's there at the wrong time of day. He shouldn't be there. You got this loud, stubborn woman out there. She's wearing the attire of an harlot. She's not in her house where she should be. Girls, that should tell you something where you should be. Okay, and I'm not saying that you know you never leave home or anything like that, but I'm just telling you, you got no business just out running around and gallivanting all over the place, especially as the sun goes down. Get home. Get home. You got no business. So she caught him and kissed him and with an impudent face said unto him. Now what happened right here? She caught him and kissed him. What do we talk about coming 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1? Now concerning the things you wrote unto me, right? It is good for a man what? Not to touch a woman. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. Why? Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his wife. What happened here? He touched a woman, didn't he? He touched her. See, that marital relationship that happens, it's a good thing in God's way, when done God's way. It's not good, it's evil when done man's way, the devil's way. God has a plan, and it's honestly, it's there to protect us. And that's why it's there. If he would have followed that advice, that it's good for a man not to touch a woman, really, if he would have just watched where he was going, he would never would have been in this situation. But then look, you know, it says she's loud and stubborn. She's not going to take no for an answer. Maybe he tried. It's describing her as loud and stubborn. She caught him and kissed him. It implies that she caught him like in a trap. Well, she was waiting for this sucker. There's women out there that are looking to take a married man down. Looking to take him down. It's like a prize for them, a trophy. To take a married man down. She caught him. She kissed him. Now I'm just telling you, I'm just assuming here, reading this story, that she's probably a beautiful lady. Probably. There's not a man alive that wouldn't like that. Now, he may know it's wrong, and inside he's saying, this is wrong, but his flesh is saying, yes, yes, give me more, give me more. Okay, if we're going to be real, there's not a man alive that's not going to like that. She caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face she said unto him, I have peace offerings with me this day, I have paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. Well, she just starts smooth-talking him. She starts, you know, just flattering him. I came just for you. I came to meet you. This woman doesn't waste any time. She said, therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. You're the one I was looking for. She said, you're the one I've been thinking of. I found you. Verse 16, I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I perfume my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. She don't waste any time. She gets right to the point. My bed's ready. Now what do you think this young fool's going to do? When he's already somewhere he shouldn't be, he's simple, he's ignorant, and this woman's all over him, flattering him, and he grew up in a good home. Parents are teaching him, no, you don't do that stuff. That's wrong. You wait till marriage. And he's in this situation now thinking, I got it under control. Hey, I can go to this party with my friends. I got it under control. No sweat. I won't do any of that stuff. They can do all that. I'm just going to hang out there. I got this. Somewhere we shouldn't ever be. I've got no business being there. So I'm under control. I got this under control. And there's that girl. Man, you walk in, you're like, oh. Yeah. And then she starts looking at you. And you're just like, well, no, I'm just, because I'm not going to do that. And then she comes up to you and she starts talking to you. Hey, why don't we go back over here? Let's go to this back room. No one's back here. We'll just talk. Okay, and that guy's just like a little puppy. I'm telling you. Now you think they get back there, he's going to say no? No way. Spirit indeed is willing, the flesh is weak. Gotcha. Let me flip this. It speaks about a woman doing these things, and that's truth. There's guys just like that. Ladies, I've said this before, I'm going to tell you again. A guy will say anything to get what he wants. You don't believe me? Ask your dad, ask any man in here. If he's honest and he's not a liar, he'll tell you the truth. I'll tell you right now, a man will say anything. to get what he wants. He'll tell you he loves you 100 times. He'll take you to the moon and back. It doesn't matter what it is. He'll stop doing this. He'll stop doing that because he loves you and you're everything to him. And then when he gets what he wants, he's done with you. Think back some of those girls you know that are pregnant. Where's the guy? Man, that guy like grew wings and just he's out of there. Gone. Yeah. I know that maybe this is too real tonight. I don't know. But I'm just telling you, this is where people are at. And so let's deal with this thing. That guy will do that to you. And look, ladies, you're going to put yourself in a dangerous situation too. Okay? Because a man can push a woman off of him. He has the strength to do that. Ladies, you're going to get in a situation, and I want to be careful with what I say, but just we understand the context here. You will put yourself in a situation where you're going to get this man all excited, and then you're going to say, oh, no, 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 we can't do this. And he's going to say, nah. Yeah, we are. And you don't think that happens. I'm telling you right now, it does. Don't put yourself there. Don't be there. Don't be like this young fool right here. Don't put yourself in that situation. Protect yourself. You got no business being there. Don't do it. Regrets for the rest of your life. You're trying to live pure. You're trying to live right for God. And you're going to go to the marriage altar, your future husband, with a broken heart because you say, I saved myself for you and I failed. I didn't make it. And God will forgive you. He will. But you're going to be broken and you'll never get that back. You want to take your purity to the marriage altar and you want to be able to do this and say this to your future husband, your future wife. You want to be able to say to them, here, this is for you. I saved this for you. This is my gift to you. And you want to be able to give that to them. And that's something special that just each of you know and each of you have with one another. That's what you want to do. And I think probably most all of us would say, yes, that's what I want. That's what I would like for my life. Then you got to put safeguards in place. So you don't touch a man. So you don't touch a woman. Because the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. It says, therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently, verse 15, to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, carved works, fine linen of Egypt. I perfume my bed with myrrh, aloes of cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. There's no way this man's going to say no. Look at this wicked woman right here, verse 19. For the good man is not at home. He's gone a long journey. She's telling you she's a whore. That's what she is right there. My husband's gone. Let's hurry and do this before he gets back. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. Look, she's been scheming this thing, planning this thing. She says, I know when he's coming back. He's taken these trips before. He's not going to be here. We've got some time. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. See, it gives the impression that at first he's like, no, 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 I don't know. You know, wanting it, but I know it's wrong. I shouldn't do this. No, no. But she caused him to yield. Why? She just kept talking to him. Come on. Come on. Let's do this. He's gone. You don't worry. No one will know. She caused him to yield with flattering of her lips. She forced him. All of us, married people included, listen up. You better watch that flirting. Okay, you have no business. No one in here has any business flirting with anybody unless it's your spouse. If you're not married, you have no business flirting with anybody. Okay? Now that's dangerous. Dangerous. You know when it happens. I've known when ladies are flirting with me before. And I'm like, I'm out of here. Whew, gone. I'm out of here. Because I don't know a person that doesn't like that. Anybody even want to say, oh, I don't like when someone flirts with me? Maybe if they're ugly. You're like, oh, I can withstand that. Yeah, but I mean, if it's a good looking person, who doesn't like that? Who doesn't like to be flirted with? Everybody likes that. You better watch it. It says that With flattering of her lips, she forced him. With her fair speech, she caused him to yield. What was she doing? She was flirting with him. You know, just giving him that look. I can't do it, but you ladies can. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with you looking beautiful and things like that. But look, that look will get him. And he's just like, you know, that little puppy again. Just, you know, that's him. He's just, okay, whatever you say. You know, I mean, he's just, yeah. It's that powerful. So be careful. Don't mess around with that. Save that for your husband. Save that for your wife. But look what it says about him. Verse 22, he goeth after her straightway. I mean, he just, boom, let's go. As an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Just like a fool, he's just going. An ox to the slaughter doesn't know. An ox just goes where you lead it. Like the little puppy just going where he's being led. That's what's happening. He's going where he's being led. Verse 23, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. There's real consequences to it. Serious consequences. Look, I'm going to stop right here and say something else too. Look, if fornication takes place, I'm not condoning it, obviously. I hope you know I'm not condoning it. I don't think it's right. I don't think you should do it. I'm against it. I'm not 1% for it. I'm not even 0.000001% for it, okay? But look, if you do end up doing that and you mess up and you get pregnant, please do not kill that child. Please do not have an abortion. Please don't tell the girl to have an abortion. Please don't help her to do that. Don't add sin on top of sin. Let that child live. You come to me. I will help you. I'll encourage you. I'll do anything that I can to help you. I'm not going to condone what you did. I'm going to tell you it's wrong. But you'll be received with love. I promise you. Don't take that child's life. Deal with the consequences of, well, my parents might be mad. Yeah, they should be mad too. Well, people are going to be disappointed in me. Yeah, they should be. My preacher will be disappointed in me. Yeah, I will be. But we'll all still love you. Please, don't have an abortion. Don't encourage a girl to have an abortion. Don't add sin on top of sin. It says there's some serious consequences to this here. And by the way, there's, a baby's not the worst consequence that could happen. It could be your life. It could be your life. And then verse 24, hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Many strong men, and you're no better than any of them. You won't make it. Say, I can handle that. Don't worry about it. I can go to the club and look at those girls dancing and moving like that. I can go to the school dance. I can go to prom. I can go to homecoming. I can handle all that stuff. I can handle looking at, you know, those guys. It don't bother me looking at those girls. It's not a problem for me. Liar, liar, pants on fire. That's what I say to that. You're a liar. So how do you know that, preacher? Because the Bible says there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. I know right there. If I've thought it, somebody else has. If you've thought it, somebody else has. Think I'm the only one? No. There's so much wickedness mentioned in the Bible. I promise you, there's no new thing under the sun, the Bible says. But what does it say? What do we need to do? Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children. Verse 25, let not thine heart. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. It's all right here. This is what we have to protect. This is what we have to guard. The not touching women helps me guard this. Me not hugging women helps me guard this. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.